Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart and the hat-eating Joe De Leon. Good evening, good sir.
So, a couple of things. You brought up the first one. I obviously can't eat a hat. It's not digestible. I had a couple suggestions from some folks. One guy, very, very apt option that was provided, which is if I just slowly ate a piece of a hat every single day until I was done with it. I'm not doing that. But as I'm not copping out, we agreed to a compromise. I could have easily been lame as shit and said, oh, I'm not doing it. I'm not eating the hat. I have agreed, as we said in the poll, that I will wear an LSU hat. It should be here by Wednesday. If not, I will wear it the following Sunday show, the entirety of the offseason. Until
you don't have to do end of August. Entirety of the off season, but no, gotta wear it at least a couple of weeks.
I'm doing it the whole. I don't want to hear any more. My comments, even when I post non college football related stuff, is when are you eating a hat? Okay, I'm getting it out of the way. I'm absolving myself of my previous sins.
Well, this is what I'm going to tell you. Okay, good on you for being a man and sticking to your bet. Even though the tweet had about 500,000 impressions, okay, The LSU faithful got behind this, and it was, I got to admit, pretty comical for me throughout this process. You sure you don't want to do the hot chip challenge, as our good buddy Jake Crane from Crane & Company suggested?
I would do that too, but it didn't seem like that got as much
no,
run.
They want you to either wear a hat or they want you to you know,
eat the cake. I would do the hot chip challenge. I am, as an Italian,
you know,
I am very hubristic.
You should do to add on to that, you should get a shirt with a commander shirt that has Daniels on the back of it.
Do I have to do that too?
Show your love for Jane Daniels, damn it. In case you missed it, about a year ago, a little bit more than a year ago, a year and a month, Joe De Leon said that if Jaden Daniels was a first-round pick, he'd eat a hat. And so here we are. I will admit, 2 things. You ready?
Uh-huh.
I'm just as bullish on Kyren Lacy as I was. I'm serious. Like, Joe, say whatever you want. Do you want to go? We could go double or nothing. The kid's going to be a first-rounder, I guarantee.
I'm not making that mistake again.
You better not.
I need to get some eyes on Kyren Lacy because, again, I'm thrown for a loop because I've not seen, read, or heard anything about this kid enough to me to be able to
really debate.
I have also, you know, touched base with some folks. You talk to people at the LSU program. I know people that have connections to the LSU program. And there's other receivers that I think that could be more of a chance of being a breakout player.
Not more than him.
I don't know, man. I will trust your judgment, but I am not going to sit here and say that you are right because, again, I haven't watched him. I don't know what he's going to do. I have no idea because he was the third receiver and he only had 500 yards this past year. But again, I'm admitting I was wrong about Jaden Daniels. We were just talking
Brian
about this.
Thomas Jr. had 500 yards last year.
he was also entering his third year. Kyron Lacy's a fifth year.
Okay.
A little bit of a difference in terms of development.
Okay.
One guy hasn't exploded yet and taken that next step, and he's in his fifth year. It's usually a red flag. Not a red flag, but usually isn't exactly exciting for determining he's going to become a star.
Speaking about wide receivers and the NFL draft here, I got to give Cortez Hankton, the wide receivers coach at LSU, a little bit of props here. Mm-hmm. Joe, we were talking about this in pre-production, and I think that this is pretty big, so I'm going to bring it back up. For the first time in NFL history, you're in a situation where I don't think that many human beings can say this, so I'm going to bring the tweet up, and forgive me for our Chris Vanini, I forget, I'm sorry, I'm mispronouncing his last name, but illustrated that that Cortez Hankton had these receivers that got drafted and even recruited or and coach or just coach that got drafted in this past year's NFL draft. Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., Ladd McConkey, A.D. Mitchell, Jermaine Burton, and for the first time in college football's history that one coach has that many guys drafted from one position. And you would think, like, hey, offensive lineman, defensive lineman. But no, it was actually a wide receiver coach that had this happen to him. So shout out to Cortez Hankton. If you want to play receiver, Joe, number one team since 2000 that's had the most wide receivers drafted is the LSU Tigers. I'm definitely going to clip that. You made fun of me about clipping. But to all of you five-star wide receivers out there, you know where you need to be. That's all I'm going to say. It's the only LSU content I'm talking about here tonight. But if you want to be an NFL draft pick and you play wide receiver, you know where to go.
I'm not going to endorse that part. I'm not going to sit here and endorse that part, but
it's science.
But I don't think that's what science is. But I will commend Cortez Hankton, though, for his development of these guys. I mean, he is justifiably one of the best receiver coaches in the country that I frankly doesn't get acknowledged as much as he should. He doesn't get enough love.
He does not.
Highlighted it perfectly.
Look, in Ohio State, I think is at 25, LSU's at 26 since 2000. I think just those two schools, when you talk about that position group, it in and of itself, man, it's absolutely ridiculous. All right. Yeah. Got lots to get to. Joe, a running back that we thought that was going to Miami, sure and did go to Miami, and Damian Martinez, we'll talk about him. Kansas State with a nice little pickup at that same position. We'll talk about that. We got a couple of spring games that we need to mention. Oh, by the way, we'll recap the NFL draft, but we won't talk about the draft. We'll talk about the schools, and Joe, I'll pose this question to you.
Yeah.
Which one of these schools with all of these draft picks take a step back going into next year? That would be that's the ultimate question.
That is, I think, the biggest takeaway for me, because it's less about trends of, hey, these programs are taking huge strides forward. And I'm going to talk about Texas because that's the most glaring one to me. But you bring up the most important aspect. Washington losing a lot of guys, Michigan's losing a lot of guys, Florida State's losing a lot of guys. It needs to be projected on who is hurting the most from that. I don't think many are, because all of these teams did a really good job of recruiting and also using the transfer portal, but there's certainly going to be one of these teams, which I think we can probably guess which is which, that could take a step back because they're losing some pretty premier talent.
I'm not going to put Michigan in that group because I don't know if it's necessarily fair to put Alabama. Now, I do think both of those teams clearly take a step back. But we'll discuss. We'll discuss them. By the way, I got to admit. Well, let me just ask you this, since we're not going to talk about the draft. Just one quick question. Who in your opinion, won the draft?
The team that I said on my post-draft show and then also on the radio hits that I've done, the Baltimore Ravens. I'm obsessed with the class that the Baltimore Ravens put together because they got those starting right tackle.
So well, dude.
Two starting corners and Nate Wiggins and TJ Tampa. They also got
Marlon Humphrey. Do they not?
I believe they still have him. Yeah, man. That team
and got Kyle
better. Hill. And Roquan Smith. They got better, which is nuts to say.
Yeah, I'm going to go Eagles because when I look at the Eagles – you know what's funny is Thursday night I said, you know what would be fun? And I said this before, I kind of manifested it. I said, it'd be funny if they go and got a white corner to compliment all these moves that they're making. Joe, I think Howie Roseman's the best GM in the league. I don't think it's remotely close. They're doing a one-year deal with Mekhi Becton, the left tackle from the Saints. It's breaking. Adam Schefter reporting that they're doing a one-year deal with Mekhi Becton from the Jets. They continuously are getting better. This is ridiculous what the Eagles are doing. So I'm going to go Eagles, E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles, for me. I mean, they drafted Vince Papale. You know what I mean?
Dude, they drafted Vince Papale. They didn't draft him. Isn't that the guy from the movie?
No, I'm calling Cooper DeGene Vince Papale.
Oh, that's what you're trying to... Well, wasn't he a receiver in that movie?
I don't really give to Rudy Poos what he is, but...
Cooper DeGene is... I mean, he might have landed in one of the worst spots in terms of him being a part of like one of the most toxic fan bases in all of professional sports. That part I'm not looking forward to. But I do like the scheme fit. Vic Fangio is going to have a field day with that kid. Him and Quinyon Mitchell, that secondary is going to be very, very, very good.
I completely agree. All right. Let's get rolling. Let's get to it. Everybody do us a favor by hitting the like and share to all those social media groups. If you're on Facebook, if you're on YouTube, Joe, congratulations. Just went over 6K when it comes to subscribers. So if you haven't subscribed already, do us a favor by hitting that subscribe button and notification bell. Wherever you're listening to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. We greatly appreciate you doing that. I do want to give out a shout out, Joe, because a week ago today, our good buddy, Josh Pate, gave us a little shout-out on the show, so I'm just going to do the same for him. Be careful, though, man. My man's out there storm chasing. It worries me, you know? I don't want him getting caught up, so I appreciate him mentioning the Ruffino and Joe show, so thank you so much. Joe, we got lots to talk about. Let's get to it. Let's talk about good friends at BetOnline. We do that, or we talk about all the things we just mentioned. We do that next. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag. We're back! All right, let's get this thing rolling, y'all. Let's get the thing.
What is it from? You started doing that. Is that from something? You just
I in the very, very early episodes of AYS, I used to do it to make because one day I was coming out of the break and I said, and I was sick. And I said, let's get this thing rolling, y'all. And the dude, it got clipped, it got shared, it got like 200,000 views of people making fun of me. So every time I do it, it's just me making fun of myself. But let's get it rolling. Joe, we talked about this guy in our top five running backs. We just didn't know where he was going to go. I'm going to add on to this when I talk about Miami as a team. But I first want to talk about Damian Martinez, the Oregon State running back who is now headed to Miami. Joe, another real big-time pickup for the Miami Hurricanes. What are your thoughts on him going to Miami?
Yeah, this was the best landing spot for him. And then if I look at the whole situation, both sides heavily benefit. They lost some running backs in the portal. They needed to take that leap from having a good running back room to having an elite back that is going to carry the load of carries for this team. This offense has come together so nicely over this offseason.
I agree.
I tweeted it out. If anyone wants some really good value on a bet for the first overall pick next year, put it on Cam Ward because you're getting some pretty good odds on that one. He is going to have Xavier Restrepo that he's still going to be throwing to, Jacoby George, who both of those guys were one of the more underrated receiver pairings in college football. but didn't have a very good quarterback throwing to them, so their production was limited. Now we have one of the most balanced offenses in college football and in the ACC. Damian Martinez is the next coming of the big body, big framed back that we're not used to seeing in college football these days. He can take a load of carries. He can run right through your face mask because he has that type of mentality. I really love this, and I think it fits really nicely with this offensive line.
Well, look, they also do have a plethora of running backs, right? And so running backs that I do think that can spell him. I do think he's going to be the number one back. I do think that there are concerns here. Let me go through a couple of them.
Okay.
So you're going through you're coming into this team after they go through spring ball. Number one, how quickly can he pick up the playbook? Now he's a running back. So I'm not too worried. There's not really a lot of worry. However, the thing that I worry about the most, it's not the running game, it's not any of that. Joe, there are different things in pass pro on how things are called that could take them not long, but does take running backs, and we see this. This isn't just a him thing. It's something that we see in football even at the next level where he might need to get acclimated pretty quickly. Now, he's an older back. He's an experienced back. He'll probably pick it up quickly. But when I look at this in its totality, when I'm talking about the Miami Hurricanes, Joe, I'm looking at their offensive line, Rivers, Akula, Carpenter from the portal. You got Cooper, the right tackle, Francis.
Malanoa. Samson Okunlola and Francis Malanoa.
Okay, well, I can't – you know how I am.
This is why I'm here. The only one I can't figure out how to pronounce is Nico, and I've apologized a million times. But,
yeah,
Francis Malanoa, Samson Okunlola. And, look, folks, you're going to want to learn how to say those names because you're going to be talking about them a lot this year and in another year when they're going into the NFL.
Correct. That's where I was going. I think that their running game is going to be bigger. So, Joe, the question becomes, they have weapons on the outside. They have a really good offensive line. They have a really good quarterback. I think three things for the Miami Hurricanes are pretty simple. Number one, I do think that Cam Ward finally gets a running game that he has been desperately needing at every one of the stops he's been from Incarnate Word, Washington State, and now here. Joe, I'm really intrigued. They're the most intriguing team to me in the ACC. They could be the most intriguing team to me in college football because talent-wise, I look at them. Look, Marley Cook on the defensive side, Elijah Alston, another dude, and they're trying to continue to push in the interior of that defensive line as well. So I look at them, and I look at just how good that they are and the weapons that they have. However, they have Mario, and I'm really – interested to see how he uses a guy like this and Damian Martinez. But Joe, it's difficult for me not to look at them because I will talk about Florida State later on in the show. It's just they're adding in really good pieces where I do think that Florida State, which we just saw, lost a lot of good pieces.
So I think that that's the right way to really depict this. All of the pieces,
well,
the offense,
I know,
the offense.
I
hate giving you credit for things sometimes. The offensive line, the offense, the weapons, all of it is reminiscent of a team that would be good enough to win their conference. But interestingly enough, we forget who their head coach is sometimes when we talk about this. And
Can I play devil's advocate? Can we talk about this?
Well, this is why I'm bringing it up. I've had a number of people that I've spoken to over the past couple of weeks, just this offseason, about Mario. And even yesterday, somebody who works in college football, when I tweeted the Cam Ward thing, sent me a DM and was like, great pick. But at the same time, I'm a little worried about Mario and how he impacts things. I don't think it impacts Cam Ward's play, but we just need to be wary of what the in-game decision-making is like. All I take away from this, it is put up or shut up time for Mario Cristobal. We have criticized him. We have been supportive of some of his decision-making and roster-building moves. He has to get past the depiction that he has received over the past year, especially by the media. He can't make dumb decisions in big game situations anymore. He just can't. Otherwise, they're going to still stick as a 9-win football team and nothing more, and sitting on the outside of the playoff and looking in.
Cam Ward needs to worry about Cam Ward mistakes now. It's not as if that Cam Ward didn't have massive mistakes when it comes to what he did at Washington State. Threw a lot of interceptions, had a lot of instances.
He didn't have anyone to throw to, though, so
I don't give a shit. When you have a guy that has a history of throwing interceptions at all places, guys that historically don't have time, I mean, what, through 12 last year in 12 games? He had an interception a game. That's not good. Bad decision-making.
Yeah.
Very bad decision-making. Now, here's the question that I would ask you, okay? We give Mario a lot of shit, and he's done a lot of
crap. He had 7 interceptions.
Well, I thought he had 12.
Not according to college football stats.
Okay, there was a year he had 12. What year did he have 12?
He had 9 in 2022. He had 7 in 2023, and I'm pulling up his Incarnate Word stats right now.
Okay, well, then I'm off. I thought he had 12, so that's my fault, and I'll correct myself on that. Still make some bad decisions sometimes. All right. Where was I at?
You were talking about his – I mean, he still does make mistakes.
Oh, Mario.
And we were talking about Mario.
Joe, have we been a little too harsh on him? I mean, he had one bad game.
No, we haven't.
Situation. Okay. He's going into year 3, and he has the roster. Now, if he falls on his face this year, I will agree with you. Okay. But, Joe, we still have a coach that did a lot of really good things at Oregon. I mean, he's having to let's call it what it is. He's rebuilding Miami. Right? Like, I mean, it's a full-on rebuild. And the question that I would ask, we did the same thing last year with Sarkisian. We did this same, and you know what's very interesting? They almost, to a T, if you look at blue chip ratio, if you look at portal additions, if you look at so many different things, Joe, I don't know if we're not putting them in the same exact category. Sarkisian never won 10 games ever and got to a playoff last year. I think that there is something to be said. Now, Mario's got to get out of his own way. And now you have a 12-team playoff. Joe, they're talented. So, you got to really screw this up to not be in a 12-team playoff if you're them. Really screw it up.
I think that two things can be true at the same time, which we love to say on this show.
Well, that's my favorite saying. I should get it tattooed on my chest.
Or on your forehead. It can be true, as we're giving him credit for, that he's taking all of the important necessary steps to improving the team. That can be very, very true. And this is one of the things that I think when we have discourse is a lot of people react very linearly to the things that you say. It's why when we get clipped, a lot of times things get clipped out of context. It happened with Miami and Florida State literally a week ago. Things get clipped out of context because you don't show the whole conversation. I'm tired of like this notion that we can't criticize those in college football, and we can't criticize coaches for being bad at one thing and being good at another. It goes with a lot of the coaches that I've said deserve to be on the hot seat but are not being talked about. And Mario fits in that in this bit where he's done a great job so far this offseason and over the past couple of years restructuring what was a barren roster. And I agree that the Sarkisian parallel is great. It's perfect. But at the same time, Mario Cristobal has been a head coach at multiple places and has failed to live up to expectations in big game situations multiple times at Oregon and so far at Miami. Just because I say that doesn't mean that he can't get past that and that Miami can't overwork that.
It goes to the point that I'm telling you. I mean, we literally were – take the names off just for a moment, okay, and look at how both programs are being built. I mean, we had the same exact conversation last year about Sarkisian, right? Like
It's very similar.
It's very similar. So the question now becomes, is Mario, and by the way, going to be real with you, their schedule's got some really tough opponents on it, not what Texas had last year.
No.
I mean, Florida State? Okay.
I think it's comparable because, I mean, you got to take into account the Texas.
No, but Joel, I mean, you're talking about Texas going to Alabama. I get they were who they were when they played them. You're still going into T-Town and you're winning where it's very difficult to win there and they beat the GOAT. I mean, it is comparable when you talk about in-conference play. But Oklahoma? I mean, Joe, Kansas? I mean, you're talking about teams that had really good years, really good teams in that conference. So I look at them and say I'm a little bullish on them because I look at them on paper, all right, and say to myself, they're a really good team. And now you're adding Damian Martinez to this fold here. Cam Ward and Damian Martinez in the same backfield is ridiculous.
Yeah.
On the outside is absolutely ridiculous. This offensive line is ridiculous.
I'm all in.
If they do not succeed,
it's because of Mario.
Bottom line.
That's what I've been trying to say.
But I don't think that they are. I think they're too talented. There are teams, Alabama for the first six games of last year. Sometimes there are teams that suck at specific things, but they're so freaking talented and culture, teams find ways to win.
Yeah.
All I'm saying.
To round out the thought, I agree with you. I am in on them. Early running for one of the teams that I like for this upcoming year. But if they fail, it all falls on Mario's shoulders. It's the only one that can take the criticism. That's what I said.
Fair. All right. Not the only running back that moved. Joe, somewhat interesting move. A lot of people were shocked when Dylan Edwards went into the transfer portal, but today is committed to Kansas State. I'll kick this over to you. Why do I like this so much? Why do I like this fit? And why does he remind me of a running back that they had at Kansas State a couple of years ago?
You talking about Deuce Vaughn?
I'm talking about Deuce Vaughn.
Yeah, he is got some similarities. Bigger version of him, obviously.
He's just short. That's why we're comparing him. Well, no, Deuce Vaughn's like 5'2".
Yeah, he was like 5'6", and I think that Dylan Edwards is 5'9". But I really like Dylan Edwards. He is a tremendous athlete. He is really, really hard to keep up with in space. I now have more ammunition for my early take that I think that Kansas State wins the Big 12 in 2024. Or Avery Johnson with Dylan Edwards to throw out of the backfield. Yeah, that is nasty. Their offensive line, they might have lost Cooper Beebe, and they also had another tackle who was drafted. They added Easton Kilty, who I think is an underrated portal ad, who is going to be playing left tackle for them from North Dakota. This unit, man, this offensive unit that they've got, it's all going to come down to what they do on defense. But holy hell, man, they're going to put up a lot of points. And I think that Dylan Edwards makes me feel even better about that early prediction.
I agree because of Avery Johnson that their running game in that specific conference with the teams that are in that conference, because we'll talk about Colorado and Nebraska and Oregon in just a moment, they're going to run over some teams. I like this for Dylan Edwards more than I like it for Kansas State. Can I tell you why?
Why?
We're going to talk about Colorado next because of their spring game. The best transition from a player from one team to another might be Dylan Edwards, because I really don't know if outside of throwing him the ball out of the backfield, just how much Prime and Colorado would have utilized his skill set of running in between the tackles. Now you have a kid who he's going to go to a place where, hey, buddy, you're going to get a lot of touches. So I like the pickup. I like the ad. But I like it more for Dylan Edwards because, look, we're going to, like I said, we literally, before we're coming on the show, we're rewatching the Colorado film here, and I'm just like, good for – the only thing I could continue to think during the whole Colorado spring game was, man, I feel good for Dylan Edwards. He's going to a program that I think he'll get better developed at. That's how I continue to look at it.
Yeah, I like the piece, too, where there is – an emphasis on running the football at Kansas State. There's an emphasis of using the running backs at Kansas State. I think now, too, what gets interesting is a potential read option mix into things that you couldn't do with Will Howard and you're going to be able to do with Avery Johnson. The amount of yards that they're going to rush for in 2024 is going to be ridiculous. They're going to put up a ton of yards. But I'm excited. This is, I love Kansas State. What do you mean that? You good?
We just got done talking about Miami, and they just added somebody else from the portal.
Who?
Sam Brown, the wide receiver from Houston.
I don't have any notes on him, but still. I do.
He was a number 10 receiver in the portal this year. Yeah. Okay, 815 yards and 3 scores in 2023. So I guess
Miami is tough for me because they also did have a lot of back-end roster turnover. Like they did lose like a good amount of talent.
They didn't have roster turnover with 815 yards and 3 scores, brother.
They lost a lot of their 2023 recruiting classes. The only reason why like I'm a one of the other things that like I'm a little wary of. I don't think it hurts them that much, but it's just something that needs to be paid attention to.
Yeah, but if this guy, I think Sam Brown could come in here and play. But, Joe, that might be year 4.
Yeah. That offense is going to be nutty, man.
Jesus H. Christ. Deuce Vaughn, sorry.
Dylan Edwards.
Dylan Edwards, sorry. Just continue like to fit. I am really interested, Joe, to look at Avery Johnson and ask myself the question, can he throw the football to win them games? Because you know what I would tell you? I'm going to stack the box. If I'm playing Kansas State game 1, you know what I'm doing? Stop the run, play man-to-man on the outside. Make Avery beat me from the pocket. Contain him. If he gets a couple of runs here and there, so what? Okay. But bottom line, I'm John Rice Plumlee in his ass. Who, by the way, the Steelers picked up. Because they did. I 100% think that there's an easy way to stop Kansas State at this current moment. I don't know if the kid's good enough to throw. So, Joe, this is what I think when we talk about quarterbacks that are highly athletic. Mm-hmm. The reason that I don't look at Kansas State as a team that I'm really just wary about is that I know that every single year, a team that can run the football highly effectively, they always have one big issue. You know what it is? At some point, they're going to go up against a team that's going to be really well coached, and they're going to be really well game planned, and they just can't run the football for whatever reason it is. Can he throw them into a win? By the way, they're going through an OC change, right? And so now you have a quarterback that has two different voices in his ear in two different years.
Mm-hmm. I think you're overthinking this a little bit, if I'm being honest.
So are you 1,000 – you've seen the kid throw. Are you 1,000% confident that if it's a shootout that he can throw them into winning a football game? Are you confident?
I'm confident that the kid
–
that he can overcome any issues if they're having trouble – okay.
If he play, let me give you a scenario. You ready?
Yep.
If they play Utah,
mm-hmm.
Utah, and you know they're going to be stout defensively, are you 100% sure that he can throw them to a win against Utah? Who?
I think it's the opposite, though. I think that when you have quarterbacks who are as athletic as him, are able to, when things aren't working as a passer and can work themselves out of trouble athletically, that to me is more dangerous. Like that to me is way more dangerous.
I don't
disagree with that.
I don't.
That's why I like him so much.
Well, the number 2 overall pick in this year's NFL draft got out of a lot of bad situations. Yeah. The problem with those two young men. Okay, come up. Act like I'm going to scramble. Come on up because I'm going to hit you deep. And that's the question that I think that Utah is the ultimate test for a team like Kansas State with a new regime here. All right.
Fair.
You want to pass on Sam Brown since we don't have notes on him?
Yeah, I'd rather jump in the because we got 3 spring games we got to get to, which is insane.
Very true. All right, let's start off. You want to start off with Oregon?
Yeah.
Okay. Joe, the Oregon Ducks went on their spring game this weekend, and I got to admit, good for Bo Nix. I just, you know, Sean Payton's going to Sean Payton from a guy who is a massive Saints fan. Sean Payton's going to Sean Payton. Regardless, I saw that you tweeted earlier today in reference to their spring game about how much you love their physicality. What did you think of the Oregon Ducks spring game?
So a couple of things that really popped for me. First of all, we've watched enough of these spring games where I've got a sense
Why
of
our teams tackling.
Right. I like that Oregon was. Oregon was one of the few teams.
No, they played two hand touch, Big Daddy.
No, they didn't.
Pretty sure.
Am I tripping?
Yeah, you tripping.
No.
That was Colorado. My bad.
There was one play. Okay, so this leads into my point. The first thing that stood out was the physicality. The offensive and defensive line were going to war. That defensive line looks deep. It looks physical. It looks aggressive. There was one play that I remember where I think it was a running back was, you know, caught a pass or something like that. Got hit so hard by one of the defenders that his beanie cap came flying off. That was why I immediately tweeted that out. I literally out loud said, "God damn, that was a good hit." But I thought that we're starting to see with Oregon that they, first of all, perfect identity fit for them to go to the Big Ten because they're not afraid to be physical. They're not afraid to be aggressive. They have the tone, the mentality of Georgia, like we've talked about, that they're Georgia West. The other things that stood out to me too, I think they're very deep at quarterback, which is an obvious take to have. Dylan Gabriel looked really steady. Dante Moore looked aggressive and had some really nice tight windows that he was able to fit the ball into, some really, really nice throws. And then Austin Novosad too. It's crazy to think that they're three deep at quarterback if things go horribly wrong. The last thing, watch out for the receiver room because I still stand by Tez Johnson looked really freaking good. And I think that Evan Stewart is going to benefit from being in a situation like this in an offense that allows their receivers to make plays after the catch.
You know what's really interesting? We did our top five wide receivers, and we didn't even mention Evan Stewart.
I wish I did. I feel dumb not doing it.
People forget about him, and I'll be real with you, and this is unfortunate. You know, Joe, I'm watching this game. I'm like, damn it, I forgot Evan Stewart went there.
Yeah.
You know, because he was looking at so many different places, and so many different teams had bad medicals on him. But he's there. So here's what I'll say. I agree with you on the physicality defensively. I think that they are building something really special defensively at Oregon. I don't know how I like that O-line. I really don't. You talked about the physicality. I don't know if I saw the physicality up front of that O-line. They couldn't run. I mean, they had some bust-out runs. But they just didn't look good on the O-line. They looked clunky. You know, like, I don't really know how to explain it because, I mean, they were getting after it. I don't know if that D-line is just that good or if their O-line is just average, you know? And so I think that Dylan Gabriel, I mean, look, Joe, three sacks in the opening drive? Only two of them were stopped. I mean, there are a couple of things here that If you're going in the Big Ten now, when you play Ohio State, if you got to play at Michigan, it's not going to bode well for you. You're going to have to get in some really physical wars here. I agree with you on one thing. I don't know if Dylan Gabriel's had the weapons that he's had with this. And you know what? Dante Moore, him throwing reminds me so much of Bryce Young.
He's got a bigger arm than him too, which is kind of crazy to –
But they still had that, like, slingshot rotation. Boop, 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 and he's out. And I agree. Joe, they're a top five, top six team. I mean, all around. And you got to be nitpicky with a team like that. They got weapons. I think their D-line and their front seven is really good. I liked how fast their secondary was. I'll be real with you. I didn't realize their secondary would be that fast. Got some dudes that can really run in that secondary. I think if there's just a chink in the armor that I'm looking at the Oregon Ducks, it's got to be that O-line and that O-line play. But again, how much is that defensive line just being that good? You know, how do you judge that? They did not look great to me. It's all I'm saying.
That's where I stand. Jordan Birch had himself a really nice day. I think that the defensive line shined more to me that they're taking a step forward. They lost Brandon Dorlus, but for the most part, most of that defensive line is sticking together. Most of that linebacker core is sticking together. I just think that that unit is so fast and so dominant that it made what is a pretty good offensive line look pedestrian. Now, they're replacing multiple interior offensive linemen, which is going to be tough. Their tackles is where it's going to need to be the anchor points. They need to help the guys next to them mesh better and play better. Connerly and Ajani Cornelius at left and right tackle could be the best tackle pairing in the country, but they got to play up to that expectation. And more importantly, they got to help elevate the guys around them. But
the problem with that though, Joe, if you were saying that they're replacing guards in a center, I would feel a little bit better than replacing the tackles. Can I tell you why? Because I think that they're fine pass pro wise in the interior. And I think Oregon's going to be fine in the pass pro at tackles. Mm-hmm. Okay. The problem with me though is when you're going into the Big Ten, if you can't run north south, you got a problem. You can run east west and use speed and get on the outside in the Pac 12. You're not doing that shit in the Big Ten. I promise you, because those teams are just as fast as you. So if you can't get push in that interior, you're in trouble. You know, as my grandmammy once said, you're one hair plucked from a horse's ass from you going and getting the switch and getting your ass beat. Okay? If you don't get north and south in this running game, they were really lateral.
I don't disagree with that.
I don't like teams that are so lateral. Okay, when you're going to a conference defensively, Joe, they can't do that shit against Michigan. Michigan, look at all this stuff they're losing. I don't get to Rudy Poos. They are good enough defensively that if you don't get north-south on them, they will beat you. Or they will be in a situation where they can beat.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today, we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
That's if Orgy can hit the broadside of a barn.
Well, everyone loves orgies. Okay. Ohio, you know what? Even if it's not Michigan, You can't. Here's the team that you ultimately can't do it to, and the team that we're really and ultimately comparing you to, Ohio State. I promise you, you won't be able to do that against that defense. So, again, preface to all Oregon fans that will be in here when Joe and I talk about the top 5 teams in college football. I wish I had a comb right here. We go through it with a fine-tooth comb because those are the teams that we're comparing you to. If you're Kansas State, okay, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. But you have to look at them so much at a different lens, Joe, mainly because of just who they are, at least just in my opinion.
I think I'm just a little bit more bullish than you. I think that they're a top three team. I was blown away. They're one of like a couple of teams that I've watched that I've just been blown away. And maybe it stems from the quarterback position, because I watched two quarterbacks play at a ridiculously high level. Meanwhile, we're watching all these other teams, and I'm watching, you know, a bunch of slappies throw the ball around, and they can't figure out who the starting quarterback is on some of these teams that we've talked about and watched. But I think that there's value.
What we're trying to compare here. I agree with you on quarterback, but Joe, if they can't run the ball, if they can't line up and run the ball for a yard, what the Washington games will happen? It's exactly what happened a year ago.
I think that they feel tangibly better than last year.
I can't go there.
We see two different things.
Well, man, you're replacing Bo Nix, man, a top 12 pick. What are you talking about?
Oregon is my Washington this year, which makes no sense if you look at those words on paper. This is my early billing.
No, Oregon, you're Washington, because Washington came out of nowhere.
They didn't come out of nowhere for me, because I knew early on that they were going to be good, Blake.
You came out of nowhere. The problem I have with you saying that is because I like Dan Lanning.
Didn't come out of nowhere. Washington was a top 10 team early on.
They were number 13.
Regardless, though, the teams that I'm about to be all in on that's going to piss everyone off is Miami, it's Oregon, it's Texas, and it's Georgia. Those are the four teams that I'm going to ride until the end of the season.
Pause.
Get to the Nebraska game.
Let's head to the Cornhusker State with the Nebraska Huskies. Joe, I told you 3 weeks ago, because we talked about Dylan Raiola starting. He's the best thing that you got in that room. Sorry. I mean, you're rebuilding. I understand not wanting to break a kid's confidence. He's the best player in your room right now, playing now.
That was the main thing that I took away. He has work to do. This wasn't a clean game.
He should be at a senior prom trying to get a reach around. Okay.
All right. Settle down. Raiola, it's the truth. Yeah. That's why I'm like, not that. I just want to say, because there's going to be a lot of people that do this throughout this process of just being like, he's the next coming. Like, we got to sit here and at least just admit he's not all the way there yet.
But
he made some unreal throws that the other kid that was he's competing with could not make. There was one ball that he threw in the third quarter with like 5 minutes to go in the red area where he rolls out, has a really unbalanced platform, and kind of he flicks it. It's just like a little whoop right off his hand, and it zips over past the defender into the hands of the receiver.
He looked like – tell me I'm lying.
You know what? He's got a similar build. He's got a similar throw style. He reminds me of Caleb Williams. They need to start him. The other thing that I really like that I noticed from them, that was exactly what I was going to say. They look noticeably better, but God damn, they were hitting, man. Same thing with Oregon. They were running the ball hard. They might not really have any receivers, but man, they got some backs. They got some linemen. I'm not saying they're going to win 9 games, but they're going to be better than people want to give them credit for.
You know who Nebraska is going to be this upcoming year? They're probably going to be 6-6, 7-5. Maybe their ceiling is 8-4, but nobody in the country wants to play them. Because you walk out of that game limping.
Yeah.
And they are a Matt Rhule built team from the ground up.
Good comparison from last year.
Let me think of a good comparison.
Like who had 8 wins? Like Duke. I think of Duke, where like Duke was 7-8 wins.
No, I know. Well, I know the team.
Who?
You're going to hate it, but it's the team. Texas A&M.
Now, I don't like that comparison, because Texas A&M was like in.
Oh, they had a lot of recruits. All right,
so much drama that I think Duke's a good one, though, because Duke was.
I don't like Duke. I don't like Duke. It didn't feel like Duke.
No,
I'm trying to think.
Maybe we can't get a good comparison. Maybe there just isn't one. No.
Oh, I was about to say Arizona.
I don't hate that. I actually kind of like that.
I was going to say it's a different type of style. You know what I mean? Like different type of stuff.
But like a nuisance. You know, like a team that you're just like, God damn, like they won't quit. They won't stop.
I told you this. I told you this off air when we were talking to a SEC offensive coordinator. To them last year was Auburn. Yeah. I mean, to them last year was Auburn. But regardless, they're just going to be a team that you walk out, man, we're more talented than them. And we know that we're more talented than them. Let's take it to them. But, man, let's hope we don't have any injuries because these sumbitches are tough. So I look at them. They're a couple, two, 3 years away, in my opinion, to get where Nebraska fans, maybe 2 years away from getting where Nebraska fans ultimately want to go. Build with your start. Build with your quarterback. Build with him. Let him get the reps. Let him take those reps. I mean, Joe, it's really difficult to come in as a freshman and do spectacular things over and over and over again. But I think the kid can be special. So you're in a place where you can lose games and nobody's going to be in trouble for it. Go have fun, build, recruit, continue to do what they're doing. They're a tough team, but they got some talent.
Elks gets it. Elks says Rutgers.
I don't hate Rutgers. I think Rutgers is a good comparison.
I think they could be better than Rutgers was last year. But that's a really good one.
They have more talented at the quarterback position than Rutgers. Yeah. But Rutgers is just that's a good comparison. But look, man, I like the direction that they're heading. I mean, watching how tough that they play. Right. Now, I agree with you. Here's the glaring weakness for me. Mm-hmm. I don't see playmaking on the outside.
No, they don't have a single receiver that I feel good about.
I'm not going to say they don't have a single receiver. They just don't have dudes. Like, Joe, if they had two above average dudes, they'd be a lot better.
Yeah, that is a position that they're going to need to next recruiting cycle be really bullish on. They just need to go and get whatever they can. Gabe Irvin Jr., though, I want to point out, was a guy who I had highlighted when I was watching Nebraska tape last year. First of all, I also like their center, Ben Scott. He was somebody that I was impressed with. He's just a typical Big Ten Midwest guy, like Tanner Bordellini at Wisconsin, like that type of dude. Not super athletic, but is going to be a really physical guy up the middle. But Gabe Irvin Jr., who was their lead back last year, if he has a thousand yard season, I would not be stunned. He is a physical, downhill, hard nosed runner. What? Something in the comments for eating a hat, shouldn't be wearing it. You should have to gym. See, I actually almost said this. Not that. Actually, kind of that. I almost said that. Like, does eating count if it's a suppository? Like, if I ground the hat up and I.
Oh my God, I couldn't contain myself.
That is so goddamn funny. Thanks, James.
Stick it straight up your ass. Last part for me on Nebraska.
Yeah,
I think that I've been a little bit too critical on Matt Rhule. And mainly because I think he's a mover, you know, like he rebuilds stuff and he moves on. It's like he's got to stay this time.
He can't do that.
But here's what I'll say about Nebraska. You have, you know, it's ironic because I heard the Eminem song all weekend because the draft being in Detroit, you got one shot, Joe. This is your one shot. Like, I think if you cannot continue to build with Matt Rhule, I think they got a problem about just an overall program and where they really are. So, start Raiola, and Joe, not just Nebraska fans. Everybody in the country needs to be patient with him. He doesn't have the guys around him. But if they can run the football – without him, I think it'll take him a long way. All right. Let's get to one more before we finish off with the draft here. Let's get on over to Boulder. Joe, I'm going to kick this one off to you because a lot of I don't even know if they're Colorado fans anymore, but or what, you know, maybe they're just Deion fans. I don't know. But Colorado had their spring game. I saw Ryan Garcia was there, and it was, you know, they had some who's who's of people there.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, I think they're a little bit better on their offensive line. Okay. I don't know if they're not the same team. Got some really good weapons on the outside. Throw the ball way too much.
I think that they're improving. They're one of those teams that didn't really hit. So it's like, it's kind of hard to tell. They're also playing in the rain, which it's tough to get a total gauge on it. I think they had a pretty good turnout. So credit to the Colorado faithful for still showing up in the rain. You know, that's great. That wouldn't have happened under previous coaching regimes. The offensive line did look a little bit better. Shador Sanders, I thought, looked like he improved, which is crazy to say because he was one of our favorite guys coming into the season.
Highest odds to win the Heisman.
Very composed, more than last year, which is crazy to say because he had some of the best composure in the pocket out of anybody in the country. LeJonte Wester is one of the top ads that they had that didn't get enough recognition. The receiver from let me check the school in a second.
FIU.
Wester is very fast. I like him. I think that it was a nice add into the mix and could end up being their primary target. But the only thing that I have to admit and that I come away with is just their depth, which is not surprising because a lot of kids entered the portal before the game even happened. Their depth looks rough right now. That could be proven wrong because of, again, the portal. The timing of the portal just isn't great for when their game was. But as of right now and from watching the game, the second team didn't look super hot.
Well, that's a Deion fault. That's Deion's fault. That's nobody's fault other than Deion.
Yeah.
You can't convince me that all these kids are leaving and he's not telling them to leave. Bottom. Yes. I mean, Joe, it is what it is with their culture, okay, and developing. But you're right. I thought their D-line was a little bit better, okay, but they're going up against a maybe average or below average offensive line. You know, Shador had a couple of passes batted down. I think they have gotten better. I'm not buying into the stock, unfortunately. Mainly due to the fact that I just don't think that they've changed. I think that they Deion, for whatever reason, and I know that they didn't have the running backs that they'll have there, and it is what it is at that position, but they're not even getting any push on that offensive line. And so I look at them, the first play of the game, Joe, is Shador Sanders getting sacked on his blind side, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like I don't buy the stock into because you didn't develop players over a year. You told them to move on, and you're going to need depth. You know what? Here's the interesting thing, Joe. Like teams like Ohio State, teams like Alabama, teams like Georgia, Joe, all of them had three stars that they developed and got drafted. And some of them got drafted really high. Like I think of Georgia with Ladd McConkey. I think of Alabama having, I think it was one, I forget. Maybe Jalen Key went in the seventh round, I forget. Mm-hmm. But I look at them, Joe, they always have developmental. Tyrion Arnold. I mean, a guy that a lot of people thought needed to be developed goes into the first round. And he wasn't a three-star guy, but I just look at them and say, that's where your roster's built. I don't care how Shador Sanders looked. I know what I'm getting for Shador Sanders. Joe, he was the reason he was my number one quarterback in college football, right? Like, I know what I'm going to get. I know the level of play I get from him and Travis Hunter. What I don't know is if you have used this year to develop the kids, that is going to have to complement all of them to get them and get where you want to go. They're Colorado. Mm. I don't. Maybe they win a game, two games more, but the developmental piece isn't there. They don't have the depth. You want to know why teams win national championships, Joe? Yes, you have really big stars. It's the depth pieces.
Yeah.
It's that's
the guys how, 2 years down the line, and Michigan's a great example of that.
You want to know where it happens? when those kids, a five-star freshman, is running on the scout team and you're having to deal with him all week, right? Yeah. Like, oh, well, shit, this kid's going to have to play in the game. Like, coach, I mean, we can't keep him out. Like, I mean, and so I'm just out. I'm tired. Like, again, if this were anybody else, and I mean anybody else, Joe, you know that I'd be coming on the show ripping them a new one. But I can't because it gets labeled in whatever kind of thing it gets labeled in.
I think that with Colorado, the way that I kind of take it is that the spring game played out as
exactly like I thought it would.
They looked better in some parts, but the depth just still remains like a huge question mark. And that was one of their biggest problems last year, is when guys started to get hurt, they're putting in guys that probably wouldn't see the field on any other P4 roster. The way that I think you're phrasing it is like, we'll start giving them more recognition when they start winning football games. I need to see it translate to the regular season. That's the simplest, most, I think, polite and friendly way to put it without being too critical. Win some football games during the regular season, some big games, string better wins together midway through the season. I think the perspective is going to be different, but they get a lot of coverage because a casual fan is now buying stock, and big media entities are just going to get their social posts, get good impressions. It's always the number one thing that's talked about. Multiple places that I've worked in the past 2 years, it's been brought up. If you talk about Deion Sanders, your impressions are going to go up.
Oh,
just the reality.
If we were money hungry, we talk about him once a week.
Yeah, which we're not going to do.
Correct. If we were money hungry, we would talk about him once a week because everything goes up when we in our segments. All right, let's do this, Joe. Let's take a quick break. We'll talk about the teams that we thought had the best draft, and there's a lot of teams that we can talk about. I guess the question is, what team takes that next step back? Maybe their fan base isn't expecting. We talk about that next.
Ruffino and Joe Show is brought to you by Home Field Apparel, which is the best, without a doubt, premium collegiate apparel brand that is out there. They have over 150 different colleges that you can choose from, whether you're an Illinois fan or a Rutgers fan. Maybe you're an LSU fan like Blake, or maybe you're an Alabama fan. Whatever it is, even Idaho, they have so many different designs for so many different football programs that I can guarantee you're going to find some great stuff to help root for your favorite team. I've already gotten my Notre Dame stuff. Blake has his LSU stuff. Make sure you head on over to homefieldapparel.com to check out your team's collection of clothing apparel that they have on the website. And when you do so, when you check out, make sure you use promo code RuffinoJoe to get 15% off your order. That is RuffinoJoe, Ruffino Joe. Head on over to homefieldapparel.com and get your college gear today.
I got to say one thing that's not college football related. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
I think it's highly impressive that John Calipari threw out the first pitch for Arkansas today, and that he went from the rubber and made it to home plate.
He's not like
how
90.
Many people
he's
that not are 90. CJ's no, it's 60 feet 6 inches. CJ Stroud didn't make it home plate.
You think you're giving him too much credit for? For that. I mean, I don't know if I can make it.
Natural athletes can go to the mound at any given moment and throw a lob strike.
Good for him.
Bottom
line. Pat on the back for him.
All right. Joe, a lot of teams had a lot of success in this year's NFL draft. A lot of teams had double-digit guys get drafted, Michigan, Alabama, Texas, and others. I'll let you start off with this, but some teams that had some really good had a really good NFL draft.
Yeah, the only one that I think I want to really highlight here. I give a lot of credit to Steve Sarkisian, who we've unfairly criticized on this show at times. They, before he got there, I remember it was always like the butt of the joke, and it was a commonly shared
statistic that Texas would have a year where they had nobody drafted or they'd have one guy drafted. They had the second most behind Michigan with 11. And their roster is reloaded and is not going to take much of a step back going into next year. Steve Sarkisian deserves a lot of credit to go from being that barren of draftable talent to now becoming a hub for draft prospects, for elite recruits, for elite transfer portal targets. We don't give him enough credit on the show, and I got to give my props to Steve Sarkisian because this is an unbelievable accomplishment for them to turn around a program like this. And you know, maybe they never won a national title in his time at Texas. It's a crazy thing to just throw out there. For him to have this much of a turnaround is an accomplishment.
I do agree with you on there. They had a lot of really good guys drafted. They used the portal really well. They developed really well. I will just say this, okay? The question for a guy like him becomes, you're moving into a different conference, a better conference. How does that change? And what teams do, Joe, when you have that much success, you're going to get drafted because you got a lot of really good players. But can he sustain? Last year was his first year that he got to 10 wins. Can he sustain that? And that will be the ultimate question going into a better conference with him. But it doesn't change that he had a lot of really good talent, okay? And I guess the only question would be, should they have had more success, right? Should they have had more success with that many guys drafted? Should they have played for a national title?
I mean, they made it. They were a series away from being in the national championship game. I mean, they almost won. They almost won that game. They almost came back. And I know that they were down in a rough spot for a good chunk of it, but they came back. They scratched and clawed. So I mean, they made it way further than any of us expected.
So I said they were going 10-2. I was just wrong on the game. So I thought they would lose to Bama. I mean, but I'm with you. They had a good one. I think it's fair, Joe. We got to talk about Michigan. I mean, that's a lot of dudes to lose.
Yeah, I'm also not worried though, because a lot of those their offensive line took a heavy hit to the point where I think like they had six offensive linemen invited to the combine, which is a hilarious statistic because there's only five that play on the field at a time.
Right.
Their offensive line is going to be an issue for them to figure out, but it didn't look that bad during the spring game. We forget that a lot of their best players that are going to be first rounders next year, they only had one kid go in the first round. It was JJ McCarthy. A lot of their best players are returning. Will Johnson, Mason Graham, and Colston Loveland. So I'm not worried about them losing 13 guys. I think it's just the fact that they had that much roster turnover and they were that deep.
When you lose a good quarterback, I say a good quarterback, but when you lose a quarterback, let's see how you can replace. They still have a lot of really good pieces. Let's see how Sharon Moore does. I don't think it's fair to him. It's his first year being a head coach, so we'll see there. Joe, let me ask you a question. Are you worried about Florida State with all the guys that they lost? Are you worried about – I mean, look, man, Jared Verse, Brayden Fisk, Keon Coleman, Jordan Travis, who congrats to Jordan Travis for getting drafted.
I didn't think that was going to happen.
I think he would have made himself into the first round too if he wouldn't have gotten hurt. That's neither here nor there. The bottom line becomes for me is, I mean, Joe, at some point you live by the portal, you die by the portal, or are you worried about Florida State here?
I'm going to ignore the – you said he could have gone in the first round. No, that wasn't going to happen.
If J.J. McCarthy, and especially if Bo Nix
– No, Bo Nix was better than him. Michael Penix was – much better than Jordan Travis. Jordan Travis is fine. He was fine.
Joe, you know how you dudes do. Y'all slob knob over a quarterback. Like everybody slob knobbed over JJ after everybody slob knob over Bo Nix. You know good and damn well neither one of those kids should have been drafted in the first round. And
they would have gone in the first few picks in the second round. It's a different era of quarterback drafting where if you like a guy in the second round, you're taking him in the first. So that's just how it works.
It's the fifth year option. I get it.
I'm also not super worried about Florida State because, I mean, we talked about their portal additions. They had a very aggressive and quality portal class. They filled and fixed most of their holes because, and we just talked about Marvin Jones Jr. replacing Jared Verse the other day, and he looked phenomenal in the spring game, and he's barely played at Georgia. So I think that they're one of the few teams that we can talk about losing a lot of guys and not really having to worry about it much, except DJU is, you know, DJU.
Point exactly. All right. Any other team you want to get to here? I will say this again. I do think to get to, you know, I want to say one thing. I talked about this earlier. Joe, you got to give Cortez Hankton some flowers here. I know we did earlier in the show, but that many guys drafted from one position group. A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, Jermaine Burton, Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers. That's insane. That is utterly freaking insane to have that many receivers drafted in one draft.
A take you're going to hate. Don't be – I feel like he could end up in the NFL next year.
Oh, I don't disagree with that.
Well,
I,
I'm saying you're going to hate it because you're losing a great coach.
Oh, no, I fully could see it. 100%
he's totally it. He's totally going to be in the NFL. Somebody's going to hire him.
Okay.
I mean, the results speak for himself. He could never coach a single guy that goes to the NFL game, which is not going to happen. He's going to get a shot based on that list alone that you just said.
You just said the same thing about Brian Hartline. Question is, are you going to pay a receiver coach in the NFL over $1 million to be here?
Well, what are position coach salaries like in the NFL?
I have no clue. I literally have no clue. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong here. I just don't think they're paying a position coach. Maybe they are. I don't know. What is it?
I'm trying to. This is only head coaches. Stupid article.
Let's see if I can find it. Let's.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I don't think I can find it.
Well, we'll see. All right. Good show, my man.
Good show.
All right. We'll see y'all tomorrow at some point. Hopefully. God willing.
Why? Is there T-ball?
It's T-ball. But we're probably getting rained out, so.
Okay.
You got to be quiet about that. You know, I need to be quiet. I don't say that too loud.
Okay.
You'll have a a four.
No, I get it. I get it.
So don't tell him. All right. We'll see y'all tomorrow, man. Y'all have a good one. Peace.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.